Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
The $50,000 jackpot hits in 30 laps. We're green at Lakeside. Battle for the lead. Here's Austin McCarl to the inside of Gio Selzy. Gio kept his foot in the throttle, cleared him down the backstretch. McCarl comes back again. Short slider across the nose of Gio. Gio crosses him over, four to go. Here's Peck. He got to the left rear. Now Larson and go to the bottom and try and slide Jamie Veal and dispose of Anthony Macri. He jumps the cushion, hits the wall. Here's Peck to the inside. Change to the lead. Peck's got to be perfect. Larson going to go to the bottom just to try something, but it's not going to be enough. Justin Peck, welcome back to Victory Lane.
White flag flies. One to go for Rico Abreu.
Larson not close enough right now to challenge. He's more worried about Tyler Courtney behind him in second. Down the back straightaway they go. Rico Abreu through 3 and 4. He'll win his fourth high limit race of the year, but the inaugural high limit sprint car champion is Kyle Larson.
Hello again. It is Wing Nation, and this is a special Wing Nation presented by Sage Fruit Conversation. We are talking High Limit Sprint Car Series, and joining me in studio is one of the co-owners of the High Limit Sprint Car Series, Brad Sweet. Hello, Brad. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Well, it is always great to catch up with you. I can't imagine the busyness of your schedule, and so we do appreciate you taking some time out and dropping by the studio here. We saw some highlights from 2023. You guys did 11 races. Just kind of describe the goods, the bads, what you learned in High Limits 2023.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely learned a lot. It was a concept that, you know, Kyle and I, obviously with Flow, you know, came up with. It was trying to do something in the middle of the week, to try to get these race teams, you know, an extra payday, and obviously utilizing Kyle's likeness to elevate the crowd and the atmosphere. And I think the proof of concept, you know, this year it really worked. Maybe even better than we thought. Viewership was great. At track attendance was great. We definitely learned stuff along the way, you know, talking with different promoters and working with different promoters and the different racetracks. It was a lot of learning. We made mistakes. We owned up to some mistakes and we made improvements. And I thought the efficiency of our programs got better and better. I thought some of the racing that I saw was great. It was fun to see some different cars battling for those bigger paydays. So overall, I feel like it was a great success. And, like I said, we learned a lot.
Learned a lot, that's for sure. I think it's a fascinating challenge you guys had, because the sprint car product, the fan, you walk in, you sit down, you shell your money out, sprint car products, and this doesn't matter whether it's an outlaw race, an IRA race, Central Pennsylvania, California, it's really, really good. A well-run show is really, really good. What was the challenge? I mean, you guys tried some stuff with a dice roll. You tried I'm a Choose fan. I'm just personally a Choose fan. You tried that. What is the risk versus reward of trying to change things, but yet not to get too far away from sprint car racing? How did you balance all of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think Kyle and I both love sprint car racing probably as much or more than anybody in the world is the, you know, the tradition and what sprint car racing is. We definitely don't want to get away from that. We don't want to get gimmicky, you know, like some of the other things that we've seen in racing across the board.
Yeah, sure.
So a Choose Cone to me was just off experiences. Obviously, with the Outlaws, you choose wherever the leader goes. So if he chooses inside, then if you're in third, fifth, seventh, you're kind of going with him. But a lot of the times, you know, when I'm in third or fifth, I'd like to choose a different line if possible, but I'm kind of tied to the leader. So that was just based off experiences and trying to create something that was maybe more fair and maybe a little bit better product. It's something that, you know, the fans can kind of see what the drivers are thinking. They're kind of choosing their lane. So we thought that was cool. Obviously, the dice roll was something that we thought was going to be really cool. It got a lot of like hype around it, but you know, it's one of those things when you draw it on paper and then when you go to execute it, it didn't play out as good. But it's just because our purses were so good and there was so many good guys that people don't want to go back in the field. They're already racing for more money than they typically would be racing for. So yeah, that didn't work out. But I still think a lot of people talked about it and liked the idea. Yeah. It just we had to kind of change it, adapt, and kind of move forward. And, you know, hopefully next year we'll come up with some more fun and exciting things that keep the fans more engaged.
It's fascinating, really. Is the Chews? I'm a Chews fan because Roger Slack brought the Chews to the summer shootout at Charlotte, the little quarter mile track, because the inside was so dominant. The poor guy that was second had no chance in the world, and they brought it. And then it's funny to me. It's like, what I get a kick out of the Chews, and this is just a personal thing. Everyone's like, we're bringing the Chews from NASCAR. No, NASCAR took it from the short tracks, and now we're bringing it to sprint car racing, and I really like that. So obviously, 2023 in the books, you get your 11 races in, you've got your champion with Kyle and everything else, and you guys decide to get a little bit more aggressive. You've announced earlier this week a 50-ish race schedule. Let's just talk big picture philosophy. What is the high limits philosophy as we look at this expanded nationwide schedule in 2024?
Yeah, I think Kyle and I just have, you know, a strong desire and a strong passion to try to help grow sprint car racing. And I think with the All-Stars, where they were at, it was like they were in a tricky spot.
Yeah.
You know, they needed someone to maybe get in there and grow it. And with our high limit brand, we needed maybe a spot to take and grow. So, you know, just a good opportunity for us to take something that Tony had already done a really good job with and had a big footprint and try to make it even bigger. We have a lot of assets. They had a lot of assets. You know, we have a lot of relationships and we have a strong desire, you know, to make these teams more sustainable, to give more teams more opportunities, and to try to grow more bigger events across the country. So, you know, I think that's kind of the philosophy with where we're starting right now. And, you know, obviously we're going to pay close attention, you know, as we grow. You know, there's going to be mistakes, there's going to be growing pains, but, you know, I think as long as we stay true to ourselves and what we're setting out to do, there's no reason that we can't be successful in helping grow the sport.
Yeah, we had our television program. I shared this with you just before, and Dominic Selzy was on, and Dominic was like, with all of the races that there are apparently going to be in 2024, this was before your announcement this week, he said, that 41 car may be traveling east because there's great opportunities. And ultimately, is that what it boils down to, is just that the drivers are going to have more shots at racing for bigger money?
Yeah, I mean, I think quality over quantity. I think we want to have really quality shows, you know, create bigger events. The goal is to have an atmosphere at the track and have something that the viewer wants to see from home. And then, you know, more sustainable product for the owners. You know, we got to look at what the owners are complaining about year after year is, you know, travel expenses. Yeah. and maybe racing, you know, too many nights for not enough money. And there's a lot of race teams out there that were stuck in limbo, that the All-Star thing wasn't sustainable for them, but they maybe can't go run with the Outlaws. So, you know, our deal is smaller in scale, but there's a freedom factor. So the teams that want to race more can race more, but there's enough resources and point fund money and tow money for the teams that don't want to race more and can look at our, you know, 50 plus race schedule to be a sustainable business model for them. And hopefully that'll elevate a few teams that can go compete more on a national level.
Neat stuff, that's for sure. Freedom factor. That is a big bugaboo in sprint car racing. What does that mean? Just kind of go a little deeper into you use that phrase, freedom. What does that mean a little bit more to you?
Freedom, I think, is a couple different things. I think it is not setting a ceiling on what a driver can make in a year. Or, you know, if a driver wants to go run 110 races and maximize their opportunity to make money, then we don't want to set what they can and can't do. And then also, if a driver wants to race less and maybe have a little more family time, go on a few vacations throughout a year and still compete at a very high level, they could do it that way. So it's the freedom of what you want to do to be a professional sprint car driver. It's the opportunity to kind of, you know, have something a little bit different out there.
To me, I look at last fall, when you guys were talking about this series coming on board, We had every sprint car driver on the planet running to run the full World of Outlaws schedule, all the high limit races, yada, yada, yada. Okay. And World of Outlaws countered with four races. That's where we're at with this. We got to July of this year and every sprint car driver on the planet wanted a weekend off. You talked about the freedom. You talked about some vacation. Is there a balance in there for a little bit of life if a driver running with the high limits are there some weekends off? Are there some plans like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's only 50 plus races instead of 90 plus races. So it's definitely different, but it has a lot of, you know, upside to it as far as big paying races, point funds, tow monies, all those different things. So yeah, I think, you know, racers want to race until they get tired and then they want to break. But I think what I've learned is that every team is a little different on how they view it. You know, some teams, you know, want to stick it out in cold, rainy weather. Some teams want you to call it, you know, 2 days in advance. Some drivers want to race 50 races. Some drivers want to race 200 races. So yeah. I think it's all over the map. But if you do our deal, obviously you have the freedom to kind of go do however you want to do it and still have enough resources to, you know, to be financially sustainable for a team owner.
You guys announced your schedule, and I know they're still working on some dates, but some big events, some big dates, some big tracks you're partnering with. How important was it to, obviously the Gold Cup is your race. You guys have done that. Port Royal is on your schedule. How important was it to establish some of those benchmark tracks and make sure that they were part of what you guys are doing?
I think it's probably one of the most important things. I think teams don't want to go race at, you know, tracks that, you know, aren't capable of holding big events.
Sure.
You know, we want to have an atmosphere at the track. We want to have fans that are, you know, engaging, you know, with us, and we want to be entertaining fans. You know, it's definitely ultra important. So having big events that have good atmosphere and going to tracks that can actually hold those events is really important. I mean, there's definitely a lot of tracks that we're going to go to that can't hold those events, but that's some of what the midweek stuff's for, is to kind of, you know, help those tracks out there. And then obviously your Port Royals, your Chico, your Skagit, Texas Motor Speedway, I-70. There's a lot of tracks that, you know, I feel like that we're going to go to Lernerville. You know, so there's a lot of, you know, I don't know how much how many tracks I'm supposed to say here, but
yeah, exactly.
Basically we're going to go to a lot of great racetracks and hold a lot of great events that are going to be, you know, something that we're going to be adding to the ecosystem of sprint car racing. So we're really excited about that.
Really, truly is. It's fascinating how this thing works and how the tracks and everything and how it all is going to fold together with this. I do want to talk a little bit. You mentioned, and we, you know, Gold Cup is part of this. You're in your third year at that. How is that? Because you've been on the driver's side, of course. You and Casey are so tight on the team owner side. You're on the sanction side. You're on the track operator side. How is that and that experience factored in to knowing what a track operator, knowing the true numbers of what a track operator is spending on things and making and that sort of thing? How is that blended in as well?
Yeah, I forgot to say we're going to Eldora for 100,000 wins.
Oh, jeez, so, yes. Yeah, I forgot about Eldora. Exactly, yes.
Yeah, I forgot about one of our biggest races. But, you get me all excited, but we have so many great things going.
That's the problem. It's like you're listing all your sponsors, you don't want to forget one. Listing all the tracks, you don't want to forget one. And Eldora of all places, but that's all right.
Yeah, exactly. So we're excited to have the great racetracks. But obviously Chico was a really good learning, you know, experience for myself and Kyle and Colby to understand what it's like to run a racetrack. So it certainly makes us as a series, when we're going to racetracks, appreciate what goes into, you know, running a racetrack. And we're very aware, you know, as we work with promoters to make sure that they're profitable, because this whole thing doesn't work without the local promoters, the mom and pop that are running these racetracks night in and night out, 365 days a year. It's amazing what goes into running a racetrack. So I have so much more appreciation to every promoter across the country that grinds it out, that maybe gets one or two of these big events a year, that really what makes their living is these bigger events. So obviously we want to add to that and help promoters grow more events, which then in turn, you know, helps the race teams.
As this thing has churned, as the fall began and it looked like this was going to happen, we all knew the rumors. What was the reaction from track operators? Did you have a lot of interest? Did you have skepticism? What, just overall broad picture, I don't need any specifics here, what has been the reaction? And then when you lay your plan out to the track promoters, what's been the reaction as you get them signed on board?
Yeah, I mean, I think they all were watching. You know, the proof of concept this year was the 11 races that, you know, in the middle of the week that a lot of people had skepticism. And, you know, once it started to go well and they saw that, you know, people were engaged and there was fans coming to the racetrack and there was a lot of interest and hype around it. Obviously, it was starting to build. You know, we were getting a lot more promoters wanting events, and obviously we weren't going to be able to accommodate them with just the midweek shows. So, you know, open up to the weekends. You know, we've had a ton of interest, and it's honestly been a little overwhelming trying to piece it together. It's one of the hardest things to do is to put a schedule together logistically. That's good between track to track. It's good for the race teams and all those things. So we're really close, you know, to having something really, really cool for everyone to look at. But yeah, the interest has been extremely high and very positive, and we're very thankful for that, because obviously it'd be really hard to do anything big without track support.
Yeah, that was always one of the questions to me. Where are you going, and who's on board with this? From a team and driver perspective, you're in the pit area every weekend, and you're in the pit area one weekend in California and 3 weeks later in Pennsylvania and everywhere. What has that reaction been like? What are questions? What are some of the things that the drivers and the team owners are talking about? And I know we're in that season now where we're going to start to see drivers throwing their hat to you, throwing their hat in another direction, or staying independent. What has been kind of the overall reaction as you've talked to drivers and team owners?
Yeah, I think everyone's excited about the prospect of something new, and you know, everybody keeps their cards close to them, I think, because everybody wants to see what the schedules are going to look like, what the payouts are going to be, you know, what all the packages, the incentive packages are going to be. And, you know, there's two viable options out there. So everybody's probably kind of watching and seeing. So, I don't take the approach of trying to talk anybody into doing it. I just want to show them what we're doing and then let them make a decision. So it's completely up to the teams and drivers what they want to do. Obviously I know where I'm going and what I'm doing next year, and that's exciting to me. But I think every team's going to look at this just like anything. It's a business, so they're going to make a business decision for their race teams. And you know, you have to think about sponsorships, you have to think about, you know, merchandise, trailers. There's a lot of things that are in the equation for the teams and drivers, you know, moving forward. And that's super important for us is to try to create you know, more value for these race teams. You know, we want the sponsors to feel like they're getting a ton of value, so transparency is big for us. You know, we want these teams to be our partners, so you know, even if year one we don't get all the teams that we want, we're here for the long haul. And if we have to go out and you know, do another year and you know, show some of these teams what we're capable of, then you know, we're fully prepared for that.
One of the drivers that we know is racing is you. You just referenced it, and we saw that. I don't even know if it's possible to do this because you're such a passionate guy about all aspects of the sport. But sprint car driver Brad Sweet is. How challenging it was to make the decision to change at the a year at the top of your game, you're going to make a major shift in where you're racing. Were you able to separate sprint car driver Brad Sweet out, and how did he deal with that decision? I don't even know if that's a philosophical possible answer, really.
Well, at the end of the day, I'm a sprint car driver,
right?
So I'm not changing the fact that I'm a sprint car driver. And Napa Auto Parts is still my sponsor, and Casey, I'm still driving for Casey Kane Racing.
Sure.
So those are huge factors for me.
Okay.
You know, the fact that I'm getting a ton of support from everybody around me, you know, and obviously my brother-in-law is coming in with me. You know, Flo is, you know, basically all in on this with us. So, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of factors. It wasn't just me going out on some island and making some huge career change, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm excited. I maybe, you know, maybe if I had the ultimate choice, maybe I would have maybe wanted an opportunity like this to come for me, maybe in a year or two, maybe not. I don't know. I'm excited for something different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm excited for the challenge. I'm excited that I get to be a part of, you know, my passion was to win races and win championships. But then you get to a point in your career where, you know, the passion maybe starts to change. The next chapter starts to, you know, creep into your mind. And it's like, what am I going to do? And then, you know, when this opportunity kind of came to me, it's like, man, I could be a part of maybe helping grow sprint car racing or taking sprint car racing to another level. Like I can help these young guys, you know, with bigger and better opportunities. That was something that I was like, really, that is something I can really. So you know, I think it became kind of easy and kind of got me really excited, to be honest. So, you know, now I'm really, really looking forward to, you know, what the future holds.
There's two directions that you've led me into. I'll go in one direction. Your brother-in-law, Kyle Larson, I know he's got that day job that gets in the way, and he's doing pretty good at that as far as that goes with the Cup Series. You know, I mean, is it trying to get as much as he can race? How do you balance his life into this as well?
Yeah, I mean, the midweek thing is something that was so successful this year. And, yeah. You know, obviously that's a big thing for Kyle, and fans are drawn to Kyle. He's just one of those types of, you know, generational talents that, you know, everybody wants to see him. And that's NASCAR fans, that's late model fans, that's sprint car fans. So he's obviously great, you know, ambassador for sprint car racing. Yeah. And so for us to utilize him, we're going to keep that midweek series going. It might not be 12 races, you know, somewhere in the 8 to 10 range. We're still going to have a little point fund. So, you know, this will be the first time I'll get to battle Kyle, you know, for points. And then, you know, you're going to throw in all our other drivers. You know, it's going to be an elevated, you know, driver roster. So I'm kind of excited to see how that all stacks up, the midweek series, you know, to kind of have the higher paying shows and have its own point fund within our full series. So, you know, it's a story within a story, so to speak. And it allows Kyle to kind of still kind of get to compete and be a part of our series more than if we didn't have that. And then obviously, just like anything, he always wants to race the biggest and best races. So, you know, Kyle's going to be in a sprint car battling for the biggest money, whether it's High Limits or World of Outlaws or the Knoxville Nationals or any of that type of stuff. Kyle's always going to be, you know, that's just who he is. He wants to compete. So, you know, we're excited that, you know, he's a part of our deal, but obviously he's hard to beat. He elevates everybody that's, you know, he's going to make the competition even stiffer, which is great from my perspective.
You promoted a World of Outlaw race years ago in California, and then you do Chico, and then you do this. I mean, and I hate talking to drivers about post-driving career. I don't want to kick you out of the driver's seat, but is there a part of this that leads you to the next chapter, whether it's 3 years down the road, 2 years down the road, or 15 years down the road? Is there a part of this that's also appealing that leads you to the next chapter of your life and the next level of involvement in the sport?
Yeah, I mean, I think you never know what the future is going to hold,
sure.
Right? And this is a great opportunity for me to really use all my knowledge and experience and relationships and everything to help elevate the sport. So, you know, if I go a couple of years racing and I'm still having fun and winning and enjoying it and it's working, then we'll be racing. If it gets to a point where my focus needs to shift to the business side of this, then, you know, that's certainly something that I'm ready for and capable of doing. But I'm just in a really good spot right now. I'm happy. I'll get to spend, you know, a little bit more time with my wife and daughter. They'll come to more of these high limit races, and that's ultra important to me. You know, and the business side of it's ultra important to me. So building a really good team with a great, you know, culture and everybody's on the same page and excited about what we're doing. Excited to be a part of that as well. And we have some really great people that are going to be a part of the high limit team. So just excited about everything in the future here.
We've talked a lot about High Limits 2024. Where do you think sprint car racing can be in 3 to 5 years from now?
Well, we think it can be much bigger. We still feel like it's fairly ground level right now. Obviously, we're seeing a lot of growth, you know, on the streaming side of the sport. And we feel like if the streaming side can keep growing to the point where we could even get on linear TV, you know, put TV type packages together, there's you know, no reason to believe that this can't be a much more sustainable business for team owners and drivers moving forward. So, you know, we have some goals, obviously, you know, we're just going to plug away at it, but 3 to 5 years, is definitely what we're looking at. We're definitely not here to be a one and done or gone in a year or two. We're looking at the big picture, to really try to grow the sport over the next 5 to 10 years.
The events, the balance of the events. I sit in stands at racetracks. I go to more races than anybody on the planet. I sit in stands, and there's sometimes you sit there and you're watching a pay-per-view production and they don't even acknowledge you're a fan in the stands. Then there's other times where I'm watching a stream and they're like, oh my gosh, this is all fan related. How do you balance fans in the stands versus streaming, because flow is an integral part of this. We all understand that flow is an integral part of this. How do you balance those two entities? They're not competing entities, but how do you put those two, how do you meld the two together?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to you know, really have a good, efficient show that keeps the people watching on the streaming engaged, mm-hmm. because I think when you get close to where they're at, they want to come to the track and experience it, especially if they're watching, you know, something that's exciting, it's efficient, it's a good show. But yeah, I don't think we want to damage anything that the at track experience. If anything, we want to enhance it for right. the fans. We want to keep the access to the drivers. You know, we have some ideas of how to even create more fan engagement throughout the night and create a more efficient show. So we'll showcase that probably a few times in 2024. It'll be different. We know there's going to be some traditional fans that are probably not going to love some of the things that we do. And so we're going to be, you know, aware of that, because we don't want to scare away the older traditional fans, but we definitely need to start appealing to some of the newer, younger generation fans, or, you know, maybe some of these fringe fans that maybe aren't the diehards that'll drive hundreds of miles, you know, that are maybe kind of peeking from the streaming, but, you know, maybe want to come out and, you know, bring their wife out and, you know, see it. So we got to kind of find the balance there, and we're going to try things. We're going to be open-minded. We're new, we're fresh. We feel like we can get away with a few things, and if it doesn't work out, we'll try to adapt and go back the other way. So we're just very open-minded to what we need to do to grow the sport.
That is so exciting. It really, truly is. Finally, World Finals are over. You've made your big announcement. The off season for Brad Sweet, as you look over the next couple of months, I am sure you have added more to your off season than you've ever added to an off season in the past. Are you going to get a chance personally to get away a little bit? Are you going racing? What's your game plan?
Yeah, I'm still planning on going to Australia.
Whoa,
for,
really?
You know, you know, not as long a stint as I normally would go, but, you know, need to get away every now and then. And part of that is putting the team together. You know, it's having a really good team at High Limit that's coming together that will be able to function, you know, whether I'm right there with them or not, you know, and that's how this thing's got to run. There's going to be a competition side that I'm not really involved in. And then there's the marketing, promotional, event coordination side, the business side that, you know, I obviously want to be a little bit more a part of and try to, you know, help grow on that side. But competition's competition, and we have a great competition, you know, team that are going to handle that side of things. And then, you know, obviously I'm going to still be a race driver at times and they got to function. So I'm excited to kind of see how that plays out.
That's always a fascinating dynamic, because you are going to be the racer and they are going to be the competition department. You've obviously had these conversations with people. You had an experience this past year where you guys got yourself in a little bit of trouble with that. Those are the lessons I'm sure you've talked about that you've learned to make sure that this is not Brad and Kyle's series or on the racetrack. It's going to be the competition department. You guys are ahead of that. You've had those conversations.
Yeah, I think it's important to acknowledge it, just yes. So the fans and other teams understand that, like, how serious we take the integrity, you know, as we build right. this yeah. of the sport of sprint car racing and the High Limit series. I mean, it can't be, there can't be crossover and things like that. So obviously the competition side is strictly out of my hands, and, you know, the people that I'm putting in place, you know, have full say in that stuff, and that's very important to me. I don't want anybody second guessing the integrity of what we're trying to do. We're simply, you know, using our likeness, relationships, and things that we have on the business side to try to elevate the sport, where, you know, we can bring more fans to the stands, we can grow bigger events, those types of things. But when it comes down to the racing on the track, you know, I hope that the officials are just as hard, you know, are harder on me at this point than they are everybody else. And they will have to be, you know, just because of the situation I'm in. So I think I have a good reputation of, you know, how I race on the racetrack and everything like that. So hopefully we'll be able to just keep all that going and have really, you know, good competition throughout the year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. You do have that. That's for sure. East Bay is coming up before we know it, isn't it?
Yeah, I forgot to say East Bay, but yeah, it starts.
Well, there's another one. Yeah,
yeah.
We're forgetting. It's like you're trying not to forget any kids, right?
Yeah, yeah. I should have had a notebook here. But yeah, kicking off at East Bay, you know, in February. Really excited about that, and then you know, have some other good, really fun events that we'll be able to announce, obviously, when the timing's right. Ending at Texas Motor Speedway, really cool to try to get that track back up and going. You know, just excited to get into that Texas market. It's going to be good, and and that'll be a big, big event to end our season. And obviously, then we'll do our banquet right there with our guys, and it'll be pretty fun. So just excited to get next year kicked off for sure.
Won't be long, that is for sure. Brad, we always appreciate your candor. We always appreciate it. I appreciate you spending some time joining us here today for our Wing Nation conversation. Thanks for joining us, and we can't wait to see what you guys have next year. Hi,
Limits. Thanks for having me on.
There we go. That is Brad Sweet joining us here on our Wing Nation presented by Sage Fruit Conversation. Thanks for joining us for this episode.
This season, Toyota Racing is looking for jugglers.
Aha!
Not the ones who toss balls or rings. Fans that can juggle the rigors of a 10-month-long season across many different racing circuits.
Well, what if I added knives?
What if you added GR Cup, Formula Drift, and off-road racing? If you can juggle it all, then we want you. Be part of the action at toyota.com/racing. Toyota, let's go places. Formula Drift is a registered trademark of Formula Drifts Holdings, LLC.